he took office, one of the first sets of executive orders he signed was famously promising to close Guantanamo Bay within a year. It put a simultaneous, the Pentagon put a block in on any new military trials. And that had been the kind of status quo from 2009 until this week. As of yesterday, all of that has changed. Guantanamo Bay will remain open. New military trials will begin. The Pentagon removed its block, and Pentagon officials are telling me that the first case may start within a few days. So you have not only Guantanamo Bay remaining open, but the pace of activity at Guantanamo Bay is going to accelerate very, very rapidly in the immediate future.
And this is one of these classic cases where it's really easier said than done. Why is closing Guantanamo ended up being such a difficult thing, well, apparently impossible thing to do?
Part of it is political. Part of it is legal. The political is that the winds shifted very, very, very sharply from where the whole country was really even before the election. One of the reasons that candidate Obama was able to promise to close Guantanamo without political backlash was that John McCain said the same thing. And not only John McCain, but President George W. Bush, and not only President George W. Bush, but Defense Secretary Robert Gates, General Petraeus. And the consensus coming into 2009 was Guantanamo Bay was toxic, the words itself were cancerous, and that it was a powerful recruiting tool for al-Qaeda. No one disagreed with the idea of closing it. What they discovered, though, is that once you get past the sort of, we hate Guantanamo Bay, let's close it down, and try to look at the details of, well, if you close it, where do these guys go? Nobody wants these guys in their backyard. So as soon as the planning began to change from can this be done to the how is this done, suddenly you saw Democrats and Republicans, this isn't solely a partisan issue, but both parties began to make clear that they were very uncomfortable with any Guantanamo Bay detainees being moved to the mainland U.S.
Well, and in fact, in your piece, you refer to it as the least worst place. No, there's no good place, but this was the best of the bad choices that everyone faced.
That's right. I mean, and the legal side is that even if by some miracle the politics were to change again, such that Guantanamo Bay were to be closed down, if you move these guys, for instance, to Bagram, which is the main military prison in Afghanistan, they would lose virtually all the rights that they've laboriously gained over the last 9 years. So Guantanamo Bay detainees right now can challenge their incarceration before a federal civilian judge. If these guys move to a different military base, they lose all of that. Mm. So the thinking is that Guantanamo Bay, as bad as it is, in some ways, it's the least bad of the options that are out there.
Yeah, you actually got to go to Guantanamo Bay and report from there, from Cuba. Give us a sense, paint us a picture with words of what it's like down there, because my guess is we don't really have a sense.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Going in, I had no idea, first of all, how absolutely enormous Guantanamo Bay is. Mm. I mean, the military facility itself is 45 square miles.
Wow.
And to help put that into some perspective, you land on one side of the base and take a ferry to the other, and that ferry ride takes more than a half hour.
Wow.
It's that much space. The actual prison part of Guantanamo Bay is a tiny, tiny portion of the rest of the base, and the rest of the base, frankly, looks like an American suburb. It has a McDonald's with a drive-thru. It has an Irish bar. It has Starbucks. It has sort of a Dunkin' Donuts-like restaurant. It's got a pizza that delivers. It has an outdoor movie theater. So you have this kind of American suburb in the really beautiful place, and then a very, very small portion of that base has the detention facilities themselves, and then has the courtrooms where these new military trials are now going to start taking place.
And how many people, there's a wonderful chart that goes along with your piece in National Journal last week. How many people are we actually talking about here?
Right now there are 172 people at Guantanamo Bay. That includes the three who have been convicted recently, three others who have been convicted about a year ago, and people like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who obviously is the highest profile person at Guantanamo, and also the one where his legal future is the most uncertain.
So when what happens to these folks now that this decision, you said they may start trials almost immediately, what happens now with these 175 some odd people?
So that's the question. I mean, a big chunk of them have been identified as people who can and should be brought to trial. So you'll start seeing those numbers. They won't winnow necessarily, because even if they're convicted, the odds are they'll be kept at Guantanamo Bay until their conviction ends. But you'll start seeing at least a third of them, if not two-thirds, gradually start to go to trial. The problem is you have, within that 172, about 50 who we've decided as a country, and this was both the Bush administration and the Obama administration, that they're just too dangerous to ever really be released. So about 50 won't ever, right now, there's no plan to ever bring them to trial. And then of the remaining, let's say roughly 120, you have another 50 who are from Yemen that we would love to be able to send back to Yemen. We don't see these guys as particularly dangerous, but we worry that, and again, this is both Obama and Bush, the fear is that Yemen is such a terribly run, corrupt country that if they went back to Yemen, they would immediately be freed and would link back up with the terror groups that they had initially been part of.
Hmm. What's been the reaction from, I know you spoke to a bunch of human rights groups, and they're very concerned about what this says about the Geneva Conventions, and they have real concerns.
They do. I mean, for two reasons. One, there's a feeling, first, of just pure disappointment. I mean, these are people who had really, really believed in and supported the Obama administration when he had promised, as a senator, as a candidate, and as president, that he wanted this closed. So there's a real sense of sort of just personal, visceral disappointment. When you get beyond that to the sort of more intellectual, legal standpoint, they worry that a lot of the people that we want to bring to trial at Guantanamo Bay, it's hard, in their view, the laws would actually be easier if they were put on trial in civilian court, because things like conspiracy to support terrorism, you can convict someone of that easily in federal criminal court. It's actually, legally, it's a harder case to make in a military tribunal, because at the time that these acts were committed, we were not at war. So calling it a war crime is a hard case to make in the view of many legal experts.
This is a very, very difficult issue to resolve. This is one of these things where there's no easy answer.
That's right. And it's one of those things where there are strong feelings on both sides, but you have a small constituency even now saying, close it, close it, close it. But on Capitol Hill, there's no constituency in favor of closing it. I mean, you have both parties feeling like there are other things to worry about, both parties feeling like this keeps them out of sight, out of mind, and both parties, most importantly, feeling we don't want these guys in our district or our state.
And I also saw quoted in one of there's this interesting sort of parallel where, in a lot of ways, as much as Senator Obama criticized the way that the U.S. was handling Afghanistan, the way that Guantanamo Bay, clearly, as we've talked about, they're following some of those policies.
Exactly. And it's not, when you think about it, it's not just on Guantanamo Bay. I mean, he had also had some concerns about the expansion of the war into Pakistan, but the number of drone attacks under Obama is exponentially higher than it was under Bush.
Yeah.
I think what he's finding is, unfortunately, in the kind of messy wars that, as a country, we're now ensnared into, it's very hard to draw a bright line between things that, in a theoretical level, might be objectionable and things that, in a practical level, might be necessary.